Oh, that's my Prime delivery.
What, already?
Only one thing can match the buzz of Prime's fast delivery, and that's the buzz of Prime's entertainment.
What are we watching?
Heads of State, that new action comedy with Idris Elba as the Prime Minister, John Cena as the President, and Priyanka Chopra Jonas as their only hope. Looks like a blast.
From fast delivery to explosive entertainment, it's on Prime. For only $8.99 a month, join now. Content includes limited ads, subscription auto-renews. For more information, go to amazon.co.uk/prime.
There are days when you're hungry for McDonald's. Then there are days when you're Big Arch hungry for McDonald's. You'll get to know the difference. New Big Arch for Big McDonald's hunger. Until 9th of September, from 11 a.m, participating restaurants only, subject to availability.
Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Welcome back to the show. Thanks for listening. Let's get right into it. I locked eyes with somebody at a coffee shop yesterday while I cold shivered. Not a recommended activity. They gave me a look like I had just taken my dick out at the coffee shop. I had looked up from my phone, and you know, sometimes you're just spacing out. You're looking around wherever you are. Coffee shop, bus stop, Thanksgiving dinner. You look up from whatever you're doing and you lock eyes with somebody. Not even half a second did we lock eyes. I must have started the cold shiver and then looked up, almost like my body, you know, wanted to send it towards somebody. Like I needed to look. Anyway, this guy for some reason was looking at me, and I looked up and just immediately went, "Fuck!" And then he went, "Yeah," which I was at least 25 feet away, so it's not like I spit on him or the shiver. It's not like he got any residual shiver. You know what I'm saying? Great band name, by the way, Residual Shiver. Anyway, it was at a coffee shop, and I haven't seen that guy since. I haven't seen him prior, but I feel like it affected him, and I feel like that's on him. You know, sometimes people choose to be affected by things, and you go, yeah, that's, if that guy goes on to tell the story of how, you know, a Jew, which I don't know if that's how he'll phrase it, but I wasn't wearing a yarmulke. I come off Jew. I don't know. I've been told. So he'll say something. He'll tell the story, and then that'll be a great icebreaker for a barbecue. Happy 4th of July. Happy early 4th of July. Boy, is this not the best 4th of July we've had in a long time. If you're not feeling patriotic about the country right now, then I don't know. Yeah, wild. But we're going to keep that stuff to the side. This is a comedy podcast. I will not be interviewing J.D. Vance. I don't think I'd say no. I'd probably say no. I don't know what I'd ask him. I don't know what I'd ask him. I think if you're somebody like Theo, you have... You want to talk to him. I don't want to talk to. I don't want to really talk to any politician. That's just not my jam right now. But if he asked to come on, I'd probably say yes, just out of the curiosity of like looking at him and being like, why are you? I don't even know what I'd ask. Why are you? It's like that episode of The Office when Steve Carell looks at Toby and goes, "Why are you the way that you are? I hate so much about everything that you try to be." Great show. My mom turned 76 last week. My mom turned 70 fucking six. And let's cut to a clip of the birthday message that she gave when I taped her and gave her a little Instagram shout out with some pictures and a video that I took where I said, "Mom, any advice to the to your fellow humans out there that are looking to make it and live to 76, what's the secret?" Let's cut to that clip.
Cool. All right, Mom, another year around the sun, 76, killing it.
Any advice to the future 76ers out there on how to stay so pristine?
Just get up every morning and say, remain vertical.
There she goes. So we had a little birthday party for her and my stepdad, George. George, I think, is 82. Mom is 76. Crushing. They don't look or feel, barring a couple surgeries here and there and some an eye thing and a knee thing, that they've changed in the last 30 years. And that's remarkable. Their spirit, you know, brain, heart, and spirit all intact. And, you know, I guess when it comes down to it, what do you want? What's at the forefront for you? You don't get them all. Nobody gets body, mind, spirit all locked the whole time. So I think 2 out of 3 is what you strive for towards the end. So, but shout out to Puddin. My mom is the GOAT. I've said this many times. We had a teppanyaki type birthday. You know, you ever go to Benihana, they cook all the shit in front of you. They throw the egg on somebody's head. They toss a shrimp into your fucking in between your tits. And they, you know, they say something in a language you can't understand that's probably inappropriate, and then you eat some fried rice and some chicken and some shrimp, and it's awesome. It's a lot of fanfare, a lot of flair, some music, some, you know, the kids get involved. It's great. And so it's the second time we've used this company. Grills on Wheels is the name of their company. Look them up if you live in the Washington State area. They're incredible. So shout out to Grills on Wheels. They come, they set up, they clean up with all their shit, put on a show, food's delicious. They give you tons of food to take home. And then that night I said, Mom, what do you want to do? It's your birthday. We can do anything. Do you want to watch? What movie do you want to watch? So You've Got Mail is one of her favorite movies. You've Got Mail and Sleepless in Seattle. When my grandparents passed, thanks for bringing it up, my mom's folks, she went down to Tulsa, Oklahoma, where they were living. They passed about 6 months apart from each other. It was wild. And she cleaned out their house by herself. And it was a wild thing to do. I was in college and I couldn't go down there and should have probably in hindsight, but she did it by herself and was real special and emotional and hard and rewarding and all that stuff. But she somehow screwed up the cable, so she only had movies. So she had Sleepless in Seattle and You've Got Mail, and she watched those over and over again, and they became like comfort food for her. So she knows every movie, every line in those movies by heart. And so we put on You've Got Mail, and we start watching it, and my wife's like, as soon as Tom Hanks' girlfriend leaves, Parker Posey, Tom Hanks like looks around the corner, and then like fun Nora Ephron music starts playing, like rom-com music, and Tom Hanks opens up his laptop and starts sending an email to Meg Ryan. And my wife's like, oh, they're just cheating on each other. And we're like, it's so cute. It is. There are certain movie stars that make you forget. It's like full-on cheat from Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. Meg Ryan cheating on Greg Kinnear, Tom Hanks. I mean, look, it's electronic cheating. And then finally they meet up and they're right for each other. And look, I think there's certain movie stars, you root for them so hard, you bypass any sort of moral high ground. They're straight up cheating. But you're like, but I want Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks to be together. And I don't care at what cost. If it's at Greg Kinnear and Parker Posey's. But they also do a good job of making Greg Kinnear and Parker Posey cheatable people. Does that make sense? Like you look at them and you go, ah, they kind of suck. I want Tom Hanks to be happy. He's not happy with Parker Posey. If he has to cheat, so be it. And you feel that same way about Meg Ryan. That being said, wild. That's most rom-coms. There's a movie called Something Borrowed with Kate Hudson, John Krasinski, and Jennifer Goodwin. And same thing. Jennifer Goodwin like has a hookup. She fucks Kate Hudson's husband the day before the wedding, and the guy still's like, I can't. I gotta get married. And she's like, oh, I thought we were. He's like, nah, we were just fucking. And she's like, oh, great. No, that's all good. I guess that's. Even look at Lady and the Tramp. Another rom-com. Those dogs were licking and sniffing other dogs' butts before they shared spaghetti. So, tomato, tomato, Ray Romano. But my mom we start You've Got Mail, and then I go, eh, you want to see what else is on? She goes, yeah. So I go, what about Analyze This? We haven't watched that in a while. And she goes, awesome. I'm going to go to the bathroom. I go, great. Let me look up Analyze This. So I start typing in the letters. I probably could have searched Billy Crystal, but I was like, let me just type in the title. And I go, I know the first part, A, N, A, and then I get to L, L. And then my phone blows up. I get a text. I look down. It's a text I need to handle right now. Some business stuff, some Dr. Phil travel stuff. I'm responding to it. Mom comes back from the bathroom, looks up the TV, and sees that I have searched the movie Anal. To which she says, what? What are we about to watch? And I go, huh? I look up and I see Anal. Thankfully, nothing has, like, it's one of those things where you type the word and then if it gets close enough, other titles pop up. No movie called, like, Anal, you know, Guardian or Anal, I don't know, Anal Beat, whatever the, I don't know what sort of movie, if it was Anal, Anal Distraction, maybe that's like a Harrison Ford movie. I hate snakes, Dad, you know. So she's obviously taken aback. I'm like, oh, I forgot to add the next letter, you know, why? So we watched Analyze This. Great movie. Great movie, dude. The writing is phenomenal. Anyway, Puddin 76, shout out. I hope to get to 76. I'm 43. I didn't think 43 was old until my 11-year-old nephew goes, 43, you're going to die soon. I was like, wow, okay. Well, you're about to be in high school, so statistically you are too. Which is sad. What else happened while we were there? Oh, yeah, my... You know, I'm an impulse buyer. Obviously, the birthday party for Mom and George, no, you know, didn't even bat an eye. Got to do it. Threw a birthday party for my nephew, 11 years old. He said thanks. My sister said thanks. You know, that's all you need. You need the kid to say thanks. Sister went out of her way to be, like, very appreciative of for you throwing this party for him and his buddies at a place called Flying Squirrel. It's a trampoline park in Everett, Washington. It's just trampolines and arcades and bouncy shit and you know, jousting and trampolines under basketball hoops so you can dunk. And kids are just running amok. They're all on their meds and off the spectrum. And they're all just, like, bouncing around, getting all the beans out. My nephew and his buddies are just pushing each other, wrestling. Kids are breaking things, twisting things, popping things. I mean, it's set up for you to just break your body down. Like, these kids are going to be feeling it about 15, 20 years. They're going to be like, dude, I think I tore my ACL at the Flying Squirrel when I was 9 and I just nobody saw it. But we had a great time. Shout out to my nephew for being a good kid. A spazzy kid, but a good kid. He's all over the place. I've never seen a kid with so much energy. I mean, he'll play... I think he went home after that and went outside and played for another, like, 9 hours. I mean, the kid has endless energy, which is scary. If he drinks a Four Loko or a Red Bull ever, he's probably gonna. I wouldn't trust him around your kids if he has an energy drink, because that kid is just nonstop, dude. And then, you know, as the kids do, one kid cried. They were wrestling, and one kid got smacked, and he comes over, and his buddies were like, are you going to cry, Parker? And he's like, no, I'm fine. And then one of his buddies, Theodore, goes, dude, cry if you need to cry, man. And then Parker just goes, I got hit in the balls. And I was like, oh, shit. I go, you all right, man? He goes, I got a dick bruise. And they all started laughing, and I was like, dick bruise is very funny, Parker. And then I go, do you want to hit Theodore in the balls to get back at him? And he started laughing. And then Theodore was like, yeah, dude, you can hit me in the balls, like, now or later. I was like, well, now, definitely. Don't schedule a smack to the balls. That feels inappropriate. And I don't want any part of that. But I'll be a part of, like, the right now retaliation. And Parker, good kid, he was like, no, I'm all right. I'll walk it off. He starts walking off, wipes the tears. The great thing about kids and the roughhousing, as soon as he said he was good to go and he walked back onto the trampoline mats, one of his other buddies just shoved him down and right back into the ground. So, you know, Parker should have faked the injury a little bit longer, walked back, and then, like, taken the guy down who hit him in the dick. But these are the things you learn, and this is what the Flying Squirrel is all about. living and learning. So that was a fun weekend. That weekend was started off by, I don't know if you saw on Instagram, we'll cut to a few pictures right here, but I went to the Jelly Roll Post Malone concert at T-Mobile Park in Seattle. First time ever seeing a concert at the baseball stadium. Wild. So fun. Jelly Roll, obviously a homie, and hooked us up. I brought about 5-6 homies backstage. They let us sit in front of house where all the tech is happening for the show. And then we went up to a suite to watch Post Malone with Jelly. Awesome. My buddy John Schneider, GM of the Hawks, was there with us and his wife, Trace, and a couple of my best buds from back in the day and my wife. And, man, it was awesome. Jelly Roll puts on such a good show. If you haven't seen him do a show, unbelievable. I've seen him do his full show where he's headlining. He was opening for Post Malone, so we did about 90 minutes, but just bangers, dude. And just, you know, shaving a couple hundred LBs, he's working that stage and sounds great. And it was an awesome show. And then he said, I want to give you a little Seattle hometown love. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, you already let me hoop with you. I got to play basketball with them earlier in the day for about 3 hours. I didn't play basketball, by the way, in probably over a year. And, man, my back was super tight walking in. God shined a light on me that day. Everything went away. Adrenaline, I think just the fun of being out there. It was just half court 3-on-3, but, dude, I was locked in. And Jelly and I and his buddy Jabari were on a team. It's all his crew. It's how they, I guess, get their workouts in. Pretty awesome. He kind of organizes everybody to get together. It's a way they can all be together and everybody to make sure that everyone's, like, taking care of themselves. And Jelly's leading the charge on that. And everyone can ball, you know, enough to where the games are competitive. And I was like, all right, my back kind of hurts. I'll sit behind the arc. I'll shoot some threes. I'll make a few passes. As soon as I took an elbow in the post, I was like, fuck, now I got to try hard. And hit a couple game winners, was just dropping them from three. It was awesome. And then we get to the concert, and he's like, I want to bring you out on stage at some point. I was like, fuck, okay. And so he has a medley part where he kind of breaks it down and talks about all his love for different music and sings DMX Up in Here, Miley Cyrus Flowers, Wiz Khalifa, you know, so what, we get drunk, so what, we smoke weed, which I now know some of the words to. I didn't when I got out there. I come out singing, you know, y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here.
Hands up. Everybody, put your hands up. Adam Ray, come out here and have a little fun with me. Y'all heard it? Y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me go all out. I want you to know that some people in here might not believe this, but I have one of the most beautiful wives you would ever believe.
You do. Give it up for Buddy.
She couldn't be here tonight, but ladies, can we sing a song with y'all ladies?
Let's do it.
Ladies! I could buy myself flowers, write my name on the sand, talk to my...
That's how it's supposed to be. Scream it to me. So what, we get drunk, so what, we smoke weed, we're just having fun. So what, we go out, that's how it's supposed to be, scream it!
And then we do that, and then he gives me a shout out, and then he talks about giving flowers, and I didn't know I was going to still be there for that part. I did, but I didn't know if I should join in. I should have just learned the words. So I'm over there just dancing like an idiot while he's singing. I can buy myself flowers. And I kind of knew some of the words. I'm more of a melody guy. I never fucking have been good at recognizing what's being sung. My brain is not focused. It's like the whole Laurel Yanni thing or that picture when they're like, do you see blue or green? It's like, I see what I see and I hear what I hear. So I'm up there dancing like an idiot. And then when he gets to the Wiz Khalifa one, I wish I knew. And I did know, I recognize those parts, but, you know, it's like, we don't care who sees, so what, we get drunk. That's how it's supposed to be, living young and wild and free, you know. And so for that part, I knew free. So I told Jelly, I was like, dude, once I got to free, I fucking was like, and free, like I was fucking going for it. And then a lot of holding the mic out to the 41 plus thousand people. It was fine. And then I was like, I at least got to make sure I say something so I'm not up there just dancing like an asshole. So then I said something and had to give Seattle some love, throw it right back. Got some cheers. I was not too focused on that. It was more, people could have booed me. Just getting to go out on stage and do that was very cool. Got blown up from some friends from high school saying they were there. And but that was awesome. Shout out to Jelly Roll. Shout out to Post Malone. Put on a great show. Unbelievable. I didn't realize how many hits Post has. Just so many bangers, you know, and all over the place too. Big anthems, some ballads. Yeah, killer, great show. And to partner up like that is the coolest, because that's like, you know, that's a great show for people to go see. Like the opener is always kind of an up and comer. Jelly Roll's past up and coming. He's made it. He's doing his thing. I mean, he's doing his own arenas. But these stadiums, that's what's like. That's next, right? And smart on Post, too. It makes you want the whole show to be good. It's like in stand-up, you know, some headliners don't like a strong opener. They want to not have to follow somebody that's like, you know, fucking bringing it. And I've never been like that. I'm like, dude, I want somebody that's going to try to blow me out of the water. Because it makes you, you know, raise your game. You don't want somebody that's like just, you know, doing the bare min. But some people do. I used to be on the road with some of those people. And then I stopped being on the road with them because I just, you know, as you do, you get more reps, you get more confidence, you get more whatever. And the person was like, you're getting too much of a response. And I don't like that. I don't want to follow that. Even though the person would follow that, no problem. Because shows were sold out and people were there to see that person. But yeah, it's really cool that they check their egos enough to be like, yeah, let's just fucking make one great show. And, you know, they're both making all the money. So life rules. An expensive ticket for sure. Worth it. They put on a great show. You got to spend your money. I'm an impulse buyer. Obviously the birthday parties for my mom and stepdad and nephew, again, family stuff, I don't think twice about. You know, when I was at the airport and I bought a Seattle t-shirt at the gift shop, did I need it? No. Did I need the 3 candles that I bought that looked like they were from some homemade Seattle candle maker? Probably not. Did I buy them? Yeah. Do I like candles? Yeah. So, and my wife goes, you got to start reeling it in a little bit, you know, because, you know, got this house, got to pay for it now, on the road a lot, all good stuff, but yeah, dude, gotta reel it in pockets, you know, can't be just, you know, acting like it's just like that when it's not. And she goes, you know, you're jamming right now, but what if something happens to you? Like, well, I don't know. She goes, what if something happens to your legs, you know, and you lose your legs? And I go, what? Dark example. What are you plotting? She's like, and we start laughing. She's like, no, I'm just saying, like, you can't. You can't stand up. You can't move and shake like you do. You can't do this. What if you're? And I'm like, then I'm in a chair. Then I'm the. I don't know. Then I figured out. Then I'm the legless comedian. But dark example. That reminded me of, I used to be in a relationship. This is post college, pre college, and we were laying in bed, and she was like, okay, would you rather drown to death or be burned alive? I was like, is neither an option? What the fuck? Why are those the options? Well, you have to pick one. The would you rather game. Who started that? Who started? Also, who started No Shit Sherlock? And what did Sherlock Holmes say or do that prompted somebody? And who's the somebody that got enough confidence to talk shit to Sherlock Holmes? You know what I'm saying? Because that's what that is. No Shit Sherlock. Like maybe Sherlock just found a clue. Maybe he was getting old. And he was still out there detectiving, right? And he saw blood on the sheets and he was like, and he like tastes it and he goes, that's blood. And so he was like, yeah, no shit, Sherlock. What, we thought it was fucking ragu. Maybe that, yeah. I think about that stuff. I think about that stuff a lot. I also think about how we have 3 Dr. Phil live shows left. 1, 2, 3. Done. Reno on July 12th. Montreal, Canada for the Just for Last Festival on July 24th. Cape Cod, of all places, on August 7th. And then that is a wrap. There might be one more big one we haven't announced yet, but that'll be a few months after. But the last three shows, we had our last show at the Comedy Store, which will be out in a few weeks, with Pauly Shore, David Koechner, Will Sasso, Robbie Hoffman, and Melissa Villasenor. That is going to be a special episode. But as far as the shows on the road, three more. Reno, July 12th. If you haven't bought tickets to the Reno show, what are you doing? This lineup is going to be bananas. We're close to L.A., so you can only imagine that I'm getting some people to fly out for this. Pittsburgh and Atlantic City were incredible. Those were the last two we had. Shout out to all the guests, Anthony Jeselnik in Pittsburgh, Steve Byrne, Cam Hayward, Will Howard of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Atlantic City was Giannis Pappas, Chris DiStefano, Jeremy Piven, and Ian Fidens. Awesome shows. Awesome shows, awesome crowds. Pittsburgh was at a place called Heinz Hall, which is their like kind of fancy performing arts center. Really fun, little more fancy venue. Atlantic City was just the big Tropicana showroom, and people were 69ing in the aisleways. It was bananas, but in the best way. And we did a proposal. I married a couple. I want to say Jennifer and David, if my memory strikes me right. And I married them backstage. We got witnesses and we signed everything. Ian signed something. Van Corona, our photographer, signed something. And I married them. And I did a whole thing. I got to get them the footage. But I was just like, you know, look at you guys. You guys are special. Jennifer and David, look at Jennifer and repeat after me. I've married people before, three times, I think. But I've had a script. I was just shooting from the hip, going from the dome, speaking from the heart. And I go, David, say this to Jennifer. You are my one and only. I can't imagine my life without you, and I can't wait to continue this journey rocking and jamming with you. And you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. I'm batting out of my league. I'm playing out of my coverage. Every time I look at you, I wish the day could start over and live it all over again. And then I go, Jennifer, now you to David. Repeat after me. Why'd you wear that fucking jacket? God damn it. The one time I need you to drink, you know. And then I had her say some nice stuff. And then she got real emotional. It was really sweet. So we married them, had a room with some music and roses and all that, and was really special. Did a proposal during the show, too, in Atlantic City. The proposals are always, I think we're like 10 out of 11 with the proposals. Only one, the very first proposal in Portland, Oregon, with Harlan Williams during a Dr. Phil Live, we had the proposal. And it was the only time where, like, the girl was like, she didn't say, like, what are you doing? But her face was just like, ugh. You're doing it like this. So even I think when I was like, I usually have put the mic up to the guy after everyone's going nuts. And he says, you know, will you marry me? Or says something nice and, you know, takes his time and says a little spiel. And when I put it on her to say yes, the girl here goes, yeah, I mean, and I was like, she said yes. Just fucking. And then they hugged and it was fine, you know, and she was fine. And she said some nice stuff after the show. I think she was nervous and taken aback. But even during that episode, Harlan got down on one knee right after and was like, well, I know this is probably a little, the timing's bad, but, and he gets down and he goes, will you marry me? I didn't seem like you were fucking into it with that guy, you know. But we got three left. Reno, July 12th. Montreal for the festival, which will be a lot of fun. And then Cape Cod. Cape Cod, we are announcing at least two of the guests. And then two of the guests for Cape Cod at the Melody Tent up in Cape Cod, Boston. Brad Williams, of course. He's been on the show twice before, and he will be back, full-time guest. And Joey McIntyre from the New Kids on the Block, a real Boston guy. So those are two confirmed guests that we have announced, they are on the show. Cape Cod, August 7th. All tickets for these shows, AdamRayComedy.com, as well as my stand-up shows, about three dates in the summer and then fall. Phew, I don't think I'm home at all, which is a blessing and a curse. But July 18th through the 20th, Dania Beach, that's Fort Lauderdale at the Improv. And then July 25th through the 27th, first time at the Bricktown Comedy Club in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Do you live in Dania Beach or Tulsa? Well, come out and see me in July, baby. AdamRayComedy.com for the tickets. And then what else? And then summer, it's just getting going. The fourth, I feel like, is not even the halfway point. Especially in LA, it's nice until it's not, right? So I mean, summer in Seattle will take you to about mid-September, and then things kind of start to even back out. I believe I'm going to get to commentate a Seahawks preseason game against the Chiefs in August. I can't wait for that. And then we have a Dr. Phil Live in Calgary. That's part of a festival, so, and that's kind of a one-off thing. It's not really our show. We're doing it, but that's not a real. It's part of a bigger festival. And then stand up September 5th and 6th. I'm in Omaha at the Funny Bone. September 12th through the 14th in Indianapolis at the Helium Comedy Club. September 26th through the 28th, Milwaukee Improv. October 3rd through the 5th, Richmond Funny Bone in Richmond, Virginia. And then I think October 10th through the 12th, Kansas City, Missouri at the Kansas City Funny Bone. All these dates, Charlotte, Baltimore, fucking Spokane, AdamRayComedy.com. There's a big announcement I have soon. I can't share it yet, so stay tuned. But it's podcast related. It's a new podcast coming from myself and another person who you may or may not recognize. You will, definitely, because they've been in movies and TV shows, and they have their own podcast already. Am I giving it away? It's a white guy. He also has a similar name to me. Okay, that's about it. Oh, speaking of Adams, I got to do this table read in New York after the Pittsburgh Dr. Phil Live show. My friend works at Netflix in the animation casting department, and she goes, "We're doing a table read for Leo 2, the movie with Bill Burr and Adam Sandler as an iguana and a turtle in the classroom." Robert Smigel wrote it with Sandler and a few other guys. Of course, Robert Smigel is Triumph the Insult Comic Dog, you know, comedy legend. And I go, fuck yeah. A, just to be involved and meet Sandler is like, he's on my Mount Rushmore. I have to take, the only way to do it, it's at 10 a.m. Our show gets out at 12:30 in Pittsburgh. I get out of makeup and I take a car from 1:30 until 6:30 to New York. I somehow sleep in the back of this car. You know, my back is still all fucked up, so I'm like twisting weird. I got a few hours sleep. I get to the hotel. We got me a room at where the table read was happening. I slept for 3 hours, went upstairs, was kind of dazy, met Sandler, could not have been fucking cooler. I tell him how Tyler Spindell, his nephew, is a good buddy of mine, and he's like, oh yeah, and Tyler, he sent me some of your stuff, you're fucking funny, man, and he says you're fucking funny, and I'll never forget that. And then we talked basketball. I didn't want to fan out, too many things that were going through my mind that I wanted to bring up. You know, wedding singer quotes, and how did Happy Gilmore 2 go, and you know, fucking Piece of Shit Car is like one of my favorite songs of all time. I just, you know, your every appearance on every talk show you murder. You did a song for Bob Barker when he was retiring from The Price is Right. I mean, like, the guy just delivers every time. And he was exceeded my expectations. He was up here. Boom. It was so nice to me. Said, you know, we'll figure some shit out with you and Tyler. It just was so nice. And shoot, and look, we had a scene. I got to play a bulldog with him while he was doing his iguana in one scene, just he and I. And my friend was telling me he was laughing the whole time we were doing it. So I didn't want to look up. I just was too nervous. But I got to read like 5 or 6 parts, and you know, God willing, I get to do at least one of them. But I've done table reads like this before, and it leads nowhere. You always got to do them. You got to say yes to all the opportunities, because that's all you want is opportunities, and you want to get to a place to where. Never think you should be, you know, unless you're fucking Tom Cruise, Sandler, Wilson, you know, these offers, they come because you're bankable and you're proven that people want to come see whatever you're doing. But at most stages, you just got to do it all and then hope something sticks. Throw a lot of darts and take a lot of opportunities. And it was just a good rep, too, to be around that, to schmooze, to prepare for something. It's like, you know, I haven't booked an acting job in a hot minute. The parts are few and far between. The auditions are pretty sparse at this point, which is why creating your own shit is still the name of the game, at least for me. And so being around that type of energy and having to, you know, I talked with Robert Smigel twice before we did it, talking about the voices I was going to do and what I was thinking. I came in prepped with different options for voices. He approved all those, and then I made sure I was real familiar with all my lines so that I wasn't cold reading the script. So all that is helpful in you know, providing a worthwhile experience for yourself. and then you want to just deliver, you know, and be funny. And be funny and easy to work with. That's the name of the game. And Sandler was just a fucking man. Got to chum it up with Billy Burr for a little bit, and that was awesome. And my boy Jay Farrell was there. Awesome. Really funny script, too. You're just looking at Sandler going, God damn, you're just, you make everything funny, dude. He was so, even as a fucking cartoon iguana, was so funny. I mean, I guess they've done all these Hotel Transylvania movies, too, but yeah, it was fucking wild. New York is a crazy city. I was there for 2 days. I'm sorry, not even 2 days. 2 hours. The table read was 10 to 2. I had to go do a voiceover gig right after that and then took a car to Atlantic City. 3 hours. Long-ass travel day. I was exhausted. But all in the name of fun. But New York just had a vibe, dude. Summer. Everyone's moving and shaking. It was alive, dude. It felt like the beginning to You've Got Mail. The cheater movie of the century. All right. I got to go. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube. Subscribe to my YouTube, youtube.com/AdamRayComedy for all the ALN goodies. Sorry, all the Adam Ray goodies, all the Dr. Phil Lives. We have Dr. Phil Lives probably to put out through next year. The Austin episode dropped last week with Tom Lennon, Big J. Okerson, Grace O'Malley, Casey Rocket, and Pete Holmes. And this week, part one of the Dr. Phil Live from Detroit at the Fox Theater with David Lucas, Tiffany Haddish, Morgan J., King Batch, and Felipe Esparza. That is on youtube.com/AdamRayComedy. The Comedy Store show will be up in a few weeks. The Boston show with Cam Patterson, Matt Rife, and Julian Edelman is coming out soon. The Kansas City show with Jim Jeffries, Eric Stone Street, Sal Vulcano, and Chris Porter will be out soon. So many. Going to try to do a few more Jeremy's House episodes. And man, check out the Kill Tony. Tony Caruso popped back on with Matt Rife. And a very special Kill Tony, I think, is on next week or the week after. I'm not sure. All right, that's it. Be good to yourselves. Enjoy the 4th. Enjoy the 4th. The country's on fire. Everything's fucked. Have a hot dog and forget about it. Good night, everybody.